Until the mid-1980s, the New Bedford Seafood Auction took place in the Wharfinger Building, a small brick building on Pier 3. Anthropologist Susan Peterson describes the scene.
The whole end wall was a big blackboard with long columns, and in each column was the heading with the boat name and then the listing of all the fish. And then there was a railing, and the auctioneers stood behind the railing, and the fishermen stood sort of in the back mulling around, mostly the captains or the mates, and the potential buyers were clustered along the railing. It was absolutely fascinating. You could tell which one were the fishermen because they'd come off the boats. They'd come in early that morning and registered their catch, and they were still wearing their flannels and their boots and all of their gear. You could tell who the buyers were because they were kind of dressed in civilian clothing, except there was one buyer. I'll never forget this. He was dressed in a cutaway, and it turned out his name was Danny Sullivan, and he also ran a funeral home. And so the days he had an early funeral, he came dressed in his funeral outfit, one step down from a tux.
Yeah.
This was the early 70s, and so there was a lot of cigars and cigarettes and pipes, and so it was the classic smoke-filled room, and then the tension of the auction with the bells ringing.
Sharon Cummings, longtime waterfront worker, remembers how some attempts to change the building were not well received.
At one time, we just had a bar across, and then everybody would just stand in the back. And it was driving some of the dealers crazy to have, 9,000 lumpers in there, 9,000 fishermen in there. They didn't want everybody in there. So what they decided to do was they were going to put up a petition, and they were going to have everybody that was non-essential personnel be behind the petition, and everybody else would be in front of the petition. Well, that didn't work too well. We put the petition up. We took the petition down. Then they put the rail up. They took the rail down. They put the rail back up again. I know, because I had to pay for the carpenters to come in and take things up and put things down.
Retired auctioneer Paul Swain recalls some of the characters who were regulars at the auction.
That auction room, you could go in there and you could meet from a doctor to a criminal in this little tiny room, a banker. You run into anything there. It's just unbelievable. We had a guy named Spider Gomes. He represented the bank down here. Give all the mortgages for the vessels. And he was just one of the characters there. They were all over the place.
New Bedford lumper Jim Dwyer concurs.
During that time with Spider Gomes, I don't think anyone that was involved with Spider, whether you needed a commercial loan or a personal loan, even myself, I don't think I walked into Merchants Bank for at least 8 years. Whenever I wanted a personal loan, I went to Spider. My payment was in the Wharfinger Building with Mr. Gomes. It was just a centralized place. It was the settlement houses. They could monitor who was in and out. The ice company knew what was coming as far as the inventory for the next day, as far as putting up orders. The shipyard, they knew exactly who was in. Between that there and the seafood producers, that was the foundation of the industry.
Now they have they have an auction, but it's all computerized. You don't even have to be there.
Paul Swain.
You have to join the fish auction, and they charge you a certain amount of money to take the fish, and everything's done by computers. You can bid on a lot for 100 pounds if it happens to be there, or 5,000 pounds or whatever, all by lot numbers, and that's the way it works. And you can be in Gloucester and buy fish in New Bedford, or be in New York and buy fish in New Bedford.
Voices from the Port is produced by the Working Waterfront Festival with funding from Mass Humanities. To learn more about the commercial fishing industry, visit New Bedford, America's number one port.